We're thinking of this theme this morning of knowing God. Do you really know God? And it's a theme that comes out from the verses that we read together in Hosea chapter 4, because one of the tragedies in the days of Hosea was that he speaks of no knowledge of God in the land. And Hosea is telling us that nothing is more important than knowing God. Knowing God in a personal, deep, real way. If you don't know God, you can be religious, you can know certain things about God, you can be a nominal Christian, but to be a true Christian, to experience new life from God in your heart and to know God in this way, is the most urgent need for an individual and also in the life even of a nation. But knowing God is not just knowledge then of certain facts or theories or ideas. It's something that is pressing upon us this morning, ought to be the central focus in our lives, to know God and more know him. And yet nothing seems to be more lacking in our society this morning than a people who know God and who seek to know him more and more. Hosea was called by God to prophesy, to preach to the northern kingdom of Israel. He was called specifically here to call the people to know God in this real way, because this knowledge of God was lacking in the nation. The sins of the nation meant there was an absence of knowing God. And verse 1 tells us then the result was that truth was absent, mercy was absent, the people were on a path to destruction because they'd rejected knowledge of God. But God, in his mercy, sent one prophet after another to warn the people to repent, to turn back to him, and that if they did not turn back to him, they were doomed. During the troubled years before the final invasion of Israel, God sent Hosea to Samaria to confront Israel with their idolatry. And that idolatry is expressed particularly in the fact that they mixed the worship of Baal, a Canaanite fertility god, with the worship of the one true living God. Hosea also reminds them of the covenant love of God. Now that message was not only a message that Hosea brought with his words, it was a message that was lived out in the fires of Hosea's own personal life, in his own relationship with Gomer, an unfaithful wife, and her three rebellious children. So Hosea's own life with his wife and family became a picture to the people of what was happening with them and their relationship with God, as Gomer was being unfaithful to Hosea, so the people were being unfaithful to God. As Hosea's children were being rebellious and refusing to acknowledge Hosea, so the people were becoming rebellious and refusing to acknowledge God. So in Hosea's own family life, there's a picture of the message he's bringing to them. Now, the rest of the book of Hosea, chapter 4 through to chapter 14, is a bringing together of a number of sermons that Hosea preached as he was ministering in Israel over 50 years. So he's preaching this message. 50 years he's preaching about Israel's ingratitude, idolatry, materialism, immorality, and warning them to turn back to God. But also Hosea, in a wonderful way, promises them spiritual restoration and healing if they will truly turn back to God. If they will examine their hearts, there is a way for them to know God. There is a way for them to come back to God. There's a way for you this morning to really know God in a personal way. And if you've wandered away from Him, to turn back to Him and be restored. So let's look first of all this morning at the charges that God brings against the people. When we think of knowing God, what is it about our lives that mean that naturally we don't know Him? We live in a rebellious way, wander away from Him. Well, verses 1, 2 and 3 tell us of the charges God brings against them. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge, there's the word, charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Hosea has this prophetic, this God-given authority to speak to the people. He establishes that what he's bringing to them is not his own ideas, but God's living, powerful word. As Hosea preached to this nation, what he preached had an impact upon them and will have an impact upon us too, if we respond to his message with repentance and faith. The word charge is a very strong word in verse 1. The Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. It has overtones of the legal world. This charge is very personal. God's people have forgotten God. In chapter 2, verse 13, God talked to them about the way they'd adorned themselves with earrings and jewelry, gone after other lovers. But chapter 2, verse 13, but me, she forgot, says the Lord. Again, later in this chapter, chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. So there's a lack of knowledge of God, a deep, personal relationship with God. And the result was then that worked itself out in immorality and chaos in the nation. There was no generosity in the nation. There was no forgiveness. There was an abrasiveness in the relationships of the people. And that's always the result of there being no knowledge of God in the land. Now, the word knowledge here, let's remind ourselves, is more than just understanding some facts or theories. To know in the Bible speaks of personal relationship. In the Old Testament, that word is used to speak of the oneness of a husband and wife. A husband knows his wife. That means a very personal, intimate relationship. Sexually, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually. A personal, deep attachment. And yet the nation here, the people, did not know God. And for you to know God this morning then, means more than just knowing certain things from the Bible. It means to know him in your heart, intellectually, emotionally, volitionally. That you know God in that real living way, and aware of the fact that God knows everything about you as well. You can't hide from him, and you want to know him in a real way. That's what Hosea is speaking about here as he speaks to people who do not know God. And that knowledge of God calls for obedience to truth. The Bible makes it clear you can't say that you know God in this real way if that doesn't work itself out in your life, in a life of following him, obedient to him. Because Israel did not know God, Israel had become disobedient to God. And here, specifically, a number of the commandments, God had given them his law at Sinai, the Ten Commandments. But they'd forgotten God, that led to disobedience against God. Verse 6 puts it like this, because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you from being priest for me, because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. So you see the link there, because they'd forgotten God, they'd also forgotten his law. To know God is linked to keeping his law, obeying him, loving him, trusting him, following him. Here you see it in a number of ways. They were swearing oaths that they never intended to keep. They were dragging God into this swearing of oaths, but they didn't mean what they were saying. There was lying, dishonesty in the justice system, in the marketplace. There was social collapse. People were being denied fairness, justice. They were defying God. There was even murder and bloodshed, jealousy, hatred, lust. Their society was losing respect for the dignity of life, particularly life on the margin, the unborn, the elderly, the infirm who couldn't contribute much. There was this careless indifference to human life. And there was sexual impurity too. The heart of a society is the family unit, but here society was falling apart. Hosea sums it up by describing their society like this. They break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Now, Hosea is speaking to a specific people at a specific time. But he's also speaking to us this morning and to nations. Where there is no knowledge of God in a nation, where people depart from God, turn away from him, reject him, ignore him, then the symptoms that Hosea speaks about here are likely to be seen in that nation, in that society too. And as you reflect on our society this morning and our nation, don't you see that in our turning away from God, the things that Hosea describes here are seen more and more in our society too. There was an unraveling of the social fabric of the nation. Hosea can even put it like this, that it's as if the land itself was in mourning. Even in the natural world, animals and birds and fish of the sea. Not only does human society suffer, but it's as if even the natural order suffers. The ecological balance that God builds into human society, even in its relationship with the natural order. When people become greedy and careless and unjust, the whole thing begins to fall apart. Here are the charges that God brings through Hosea against the people. Here are the charges that God brings against us and against this nation this morning. Secondly, then, the tragic consequences of not knowing God. If you are called to turn back to God, if I am called to turn back to God, if a nation is called to turn back to God and yet rejects and turns away from him, are there consequences? Yes, there are, says Hosea. There are consequences if you don't turn back to God. Charge is a strong word. The charge that the Lord brings against the inhabitants of the land. Verses 4 to 6 is an even stronger word used, that God now speaks to them in a way that he has a contention against them. The nation was meant to be a priest to God. When God gave the nation the Ten Commandments, he had said to them, "You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." But now, as there was this social disintegration, as they rejected God, so it meant now they could not live as they were meant to live, as a light to the nations of the world. And why? Because they've rejected this knowledge of God. God says to them, "You reject this personal relationship with me that I've called you to. You isolate yourself from me. You turn away from me. You forget the law of God. Therefore, the purpose for which you're brought into being is now no longer evident amongst you." Even the law of God given to them at Sinai, it's as if they couldn't remember that law anymore. So to in our nation, where there is an erosion of a knowledge of God and God's commands, what you see is a nation that has forgotten God. "Now let no man contend or rebuke another, for your people are like those who contend with the priest. Therefore you shall stumble in the day. The prophet also shall stumble with you in the night. And I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I also reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." You see the tragic consequences. First of all, he says to them, "You shall stumble in the day. The prophet also shall stumble with you in the night." They had a priestly calling and they had a prophetic calling. They were to be a nation of truth tellers, to show the nations what it meant to know God. But because they had turned away from God, now they're falling flat on their faces. They couldn't be a help to anybody because they couldn't even be a help to themselves. They couldn't live up to their priestly calling or to their prophetic calling. Another consequence here, destruction. The word is used here on a number of occasions. In the last verse, last part of verse 5, "I will destroy your mother." In verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Now throughout this book, Hosea uses Gomer, his wife, as a picture, because God has called Hosea into this unusual and remarkable situation where in his own family life, there's being worked out a picture of what's happening in the nation. The nation being, as it were, like a wife to God, and the mother of men and women in the nation. The people of Israel considered themselves to be the spiritual children of God. But instead of that, here there is destruction. They would perish. The nation would be taken away into exile. The people would come under God's displeasure and chastening because they'd forgotten him. Another consequence here is that as God rejects them as a nation of priests, a priest was to lead people to God. Priests were to be committed to the truth about God. The priests were to be those who judged on issues of biblical morality. Priests were called to hallow the Sabbath, for example, draw the people into a life of worship and rest and gratitude. But now all that is being undermined because the people have turned away from God. And so you have this poignant consequence here. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, verse 6, I also will forget your children. God says to them, it's as if I will step back from you, God says. You want to go your own way? I will let you go. I'll let you live the sort of life you want to live, without God, without truth, without my law. You don't want me anymore. You want to live your own life, your own way. Carry on. It's a very frightening thing for a person or for a nation when in rebellion God says, go your own way. These consequences that God describes here, coming to a place where a nation stumbles, where there is social disintegration, people are being now allowed to live out a life of rebellion. And as if God takes some of the restraints away, that society is an awful place to live. And here, Hosea confronts them with that frightening reality. The tragic consequences of not knowing God. So first of all, the charges that God brings against the people. Then the tragic consequences of not knowing God. And then thirdly here, we also see there was a critical role of spiritual leaders. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, God cries. And part of the problem, a large part perhaps of that problem, lies at the door of those who should have been in positions of spiritual leadership. Listen to what God says through Hosea. The more they increased, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on their iniquity. And it shall be like priest, like people, like priest. So I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds. For they shall eat, but not have enough. They shall commit harlotry, but not increase, because they have ceased obeying the Lord. The priesthood were those who should have been teaching the word of God, to lead the nation in worship, to lead them back to God, to turn back. But here we see that something drastically has gone wrong. First of all, we see that though there had been an increase in wealth, they had used God's blessing to forget him. We see that instead of speaking truth, they were perverting truth and not standing for biblical reality anymore. And thirdly, we see here that there was a degeneracy of life. During the early part of Hosea's ministry, the nation had known prosperity under the reign of King Jeroboam. Perhaps it was one of the wealthiest periods in their history. There was a stability, economically, politically. And the upper classes had got very rich. And Hosea says the priesthood have benefited from that wealth. They'd uncritically supported the king and the upper ruling classes, because that's where the wealth was. They tolerated the blending of the worship of Baal with the worship of the Lord. They cooperated with it. They fitted in. They didn't preach against the materialism of the land. And they couldn't bring the word of God because they were benefiting too much themselves. You see the dangerous principle here. An abundance of resources and wealth can create for an individual or for a society a false sense of security. Think of our nation. When you think of the nations of the world, a nation that is relatively prosperous. But there is a danger in that. A nation then has a false sense of security. Look what we have got. Look what we have made. Look at the money and resources we have. We don't need God anymore. And that can be true for an individual person. My life is together. I've got what I need. Why do I need God? Why should I have my life disrupted by God when my life is fine without Him? And that same idea can come into the heart and mind of the Christian leader even. A false sense of security to make you think less and less of God and your need of God, and more that you can live without Him. To abandon God and turn away from Him, a false sense of security. So there's an ugly picture here too. The priests, instead of upholding biblical truth, the priests were prospering from the Old Testament equivalent of what Martin Luther spoke about at the time of the Reformation, the church selling indulgences. The priests were misappropriating the sin offerings and the sacrifices, because the more guilt-driven people were, the more offerings the priests got. So Hosea can speak about it like this: the more they increased, the more they sinned against me. The more the people sinned, and the more sin offerings that were brought, the priests were benefiting, and they more and more were forgetting God. So, Hosea says, spiritual leaders will suffer the same judgment that the nation will experience. The striking phrase that he has, and it shall be like people, like priest. For those involved in any way in spiritual leadership here this morning, let us be aware of this tremendous responsibility that the Bible gives to those in Christian leadership. It's one of the things I often think about here at the seminary, and as our church has links with the seminary and work amongst students. It's a very important principle to bear in mind. For me as a spiritual leader, for you, if you're an elder or a deacon or involved with children or young people or in any position of spiritual leadership, students here this morning in the seminary training for Christian ministry, you don't worship God? I don't need to worship God. That's the way people tend to react. You don't pray in the prayer meeting? I don't need to pray in the prayer meeting. You don't read the Bible? I don't need to read the Bible. You don't live for God? I don't need to live for God. That sort of principle will often work itself out in a society. By the priest's failure here, the people, as a result, were on a downward path. The people of Israel here were being destroyed because the priests were not teaching or living the word of God. And as a result, there was spiritual destruction. Now, in the light of the New Testament, we see here that the way God supremely has revealed himself is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hosea is preaching to people 700-800 years before the coming of Jesus. In the coming of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God reveals himself supremely. Nothing held back, nothing left out. Jesus Christ comes and says, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." Jesus, the great prophet, priest, and king for the people of God. The prophet, priest, and king without sin, without shortcoming, without failure. No one can look at Jesus Christ and convict him of sin. Here, in their prophetic role, as their priestly role, there was shortcoming, there was failure, there was sin, there was destruction. In Jesus Christ, there is fulfillment, there is perfection. God offers himself in his Son, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ, God's word, God's final word, the Redeemer, the Restorer, the one who brings men and women back to God. Where Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, we see finally the answer to the big question that Hosea is asking, how can this nation really know God? How can this nation turn back to God? How can you really know God? How can you turn back to God? Well, knowing God is about your heart. Knowing God is about a heart, faith, and trust in Jesus Christ. Now, there are many people who settle for a superficial head knowledge about God. But to really know God, you need to know the Savior, Jesus Christ, the final prophet, priest, and king whom God has sent into the world. Turning from a life of self-reliance to trust Jesus Christ and to follow him, because the promise of the Bible is if you seek him with all your heart, you will ever surely find him. It is through Jesus Christ that you come to truly know God. And in this picture in the book of Hosea, about God, as it were, the heavenly bridegroom, and the people here, his wife, his bride. We see that in New Testament light fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to redeem his church, his bride. And the price he was willing to pay to bring us back to God, that we might know God, is his own blood shed at the cross. Do you know God? You can really know God. Hosea's challenge to us this morning is to know God in this living, personal, real way through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, sent into this world for our salvation. We'll pray together. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for your word to us and the challenge that it brings. It's a challenge that reminds us of the great danger we all face as individuals or as a nation. To forget God. What a disaster, what destruction that brings in a person's life, in national life. We pray that as we hear that challenge from Hosea this morning, through Jesus Christ, you'll show us what it means to truly turn back to you and to know afresh that sense of your grace, your love, your mercy to us. And that in Jesus Christ you've revealed yourself supremely, that we may know God in this real way. So help us, we pray, and we turn to you this morning and acknowledge our only acceptance and our only hope is in that Son of God sent into this world upon whom we rely, Jesus our Saviour. Hear us as we come then, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to sing as a closing hymn, 637, which speaks about knowing God in a personal way. In the chorus, can you run it through to the chorus? Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. So, we'll start from the beginning. Yeah, just showing the chorus. We'll stand to sing. Thank you. you as we come to you this morning that it is possible to know you in this real personal way. Knowing you, Jesus, is the greatest thing. We pray, Lord, that you will show us this morning in heart as well as in mind and life the reality of knowing Jesus Christ more and more. And for those who've never done so before, to know him even for the first time by personal trust this morning, turning to him in repentance and faith. And Lord, we cry out to you for our nation too at this time. We feel Hosea's rebuke that there's this lack of knowledge of the Lord in the land. Oh Lord, we cry out to you. Help us to be those who will make Jesus Christ known more and more. And so help us by your word and by your spirit. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of us and all God's people, both this day and forevermore. Amen.